Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Let's stand here and receive God's word. Y'all, the kids had the song right? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, it's a light unto my path. May the word of God speak. Hear and receive God's word for us. These are the words of Jesus, his Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 5. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. And his disciples came to him, and Jesus began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons and daughters of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. May your word be like a two-edged sword piercing to the core of our being. God, may we hear your voice. May your Holy Spirit speak to us. And may we let, God, your word not just be stuffer that we read on the screen or we hear from a preacher, but may we let your word become seeds of transformation in every single one of us here this morning. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Y'all can be seated. So on Wednesday, we have prayer meeting. So Wednesday prayer meeting, we have it at lunch. We found out on Wednesday at prayer meeting that the earth will lose gravity for 7 seconds on August 12th. Y'all know about this? The earth is going to lose gravity 7 seconds August 12th. Okay, anyway. No big deal, right? I mean, everything that has ever been built is based on the laws of force and gravity, and it will just, you know, everything will be destroyed, and we'll just fly up because we'll only weigh like 30 pounds. I don't know. No big deal, right? So I'm from the Show Me State, so I say to the person who shared this, "Where did you hear that?" You know? And he says, "Well, I heard that in my morning Bible study." Well, it must be true then, right? So by the way, in case you're wondering, the prediction of a sudden gravity outage is a viral social media hoax that originated on TikTok and Instagram, of course. This fabricated event stems from a conspiracy theory that a secret $89 billion NASA initiative dubbed Project Anchor discovered an intersecting pair of gravitational waves that would temporarily negate Earth's gravity. Good news. Scientists and NASA have unequivocally debunked the claim, confirming that such event is scientifically impossible. Because gravity is a fundamental property tied to mass. The only way Earth could lose its gravity would be if the planet itself, it just abruptly disintegrated. So praise God that gravitational waves do not have the ability to switch off planetary gravity. That's quite a sermon introduction, right? But y'all, make no mistake, Jesus clearly teaches the very last week of his life on planet Earth. He's at Mount Olivet, and this is what he says. Heaven, this is Matthew 24, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words, right, my words will not pass away. Isaiah also clearly taught, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. All of this, y'all look around, right? All the stage, all the sanctuary, the pews, right? The lights, all of this is temporary. all of this, God's word, will last forever. And the word of God says, we are blessed to be a blessing. And the word of God says that Jesus spent his life blessing others. And the word of God calls us to bless others even as Jesus has blessed us. So this morning, we're focusing on the life of blessedness that Jesus lived. This summer, our whole sermon series is B-L-E-S-S. We will look at what Jesus taught about blessedness and also begin to look at how Jesus lived a life of blessedness in his relationship with others. So first, here in Matthew 5, what did Jesus teach? Here in Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount, we see what Jesus taught on blessedness. First, Jesus taught that blessedness is a gift. It's a gift that is given to you, a gift that you receive. Blessedness is something that God gives to you and something that God does in you. Second, blessedness comes not to those, right, who have the things of this world, but rather blessedness comes to those who are living in radical need and dependence upon God. The poor, the grieving, the persecuted, the rejected, the authentic seekers of and building two different lives. The first man is an architect of ultimate security. He spends his entire life building a state-of-the-art, hyper-insulated fortress. It has backup generators, fully stocked pantry, facial recognition security, and climate control that keeps for nothing. He has everything he needs, and he is completely self-sufficient. The second man is an explorer. He doesn't have a fortress. He doesn't have much of anything. In fact, he is living his life out on the rugged, high-altitude mountain climbs and expeditions. What he has, he carries on his back. It fits into his backpack. One afternoon, a massive, unpredicted blizzard rolls in. The temperature drops below zero. The wind howls at 60 miles an hour. Visibility drops to an arm's length. He is cold. His supplies are running. A radical, terrifying need. Without help, he knows he will never make it. So now, here's the question. Ask yourself, to which of these two men does the rescue helicopter come? The helicopter doesn't fly to the man in the fortress. Well, I mean, why would he? He doesn't. Life comforts. The rescue pilot is flying right directly into the storm, eyes strained, looking for that second man lost on the mountains. And when he sees him, he goes directly to him. And he is lifted up into the He experiences a profound, overwhelming sense of rescue, relief, and safety. You see, on that long ago day, when Jesus looked out right on that mountain, he saw real people with real need. And he preaches those who are persecuted. And when he does, Jesus is turning our definition of blessedness completely upside down. The world tells us that the blessed person, the blessed person, is this first guy, the first man, the one who's amassed enough money, power, and comfort to enter. Security is often a spiritual fortress, not just against, you know, trouble, but actually against God's presence and intervention in our lives at all. When we have everything, we rarely look up. When we have our own bootstraps, we think we have everything we need. God's rescue, his deep presence, his supernatural favor doesn't descend upon those who are self-satisfied, those who have all, you know, their lives are full of all the things of the world. Rather, his presence rushes, flies toward lost people in the wilderness. His presence rushes toward the brokenhearted, the desperate, the rejected. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And he surely comes to those of us, even this morning, who are down right to our absolute last resort. We are not blessed because our circumstances are easy. We are blessed because our radical need has removed the obstacles that we had between us and God. Like the explorer in the storm, our empty hands, our frozen hands, make us perfectly ready to receive his grip, his embrace. The very embrace, the very love, the very goodness, the very presence of the rescuer and savior of the world. This morning, you know, if we had... okay. Which line do you want to get in, right? Aren't most of us choosing this line? But this is not the line of blessedness. This is the line of self-sufficiency. This is the line where we truly come to know and experience the presence and power of God working in our lives. Okay, third, blessedness is found in those who are living lives of blessedness toward others. The merciful, the peacemakers, the righteous, the meek, those who bridle their strength, not for the good, you know, of themselves, not for self, you know, interest, but rather for the good of others. That's the line. That's the way of blessedness. Blessedness to us and in us comes as we are investing our lives in serving and loving others. As we literally spend ourselves, our strength, our resources, our sacrifices, that's what we're giving ourselves away. We are making room for God himself to continually replenish us with his very Holy Spirit. When you see that list, right, that we read, Matthew 5, that list of blessedness, when you begin to actually live out Jesus' Beatitudes, you will be living out the very core DNA. Ago, and he's saying to us this morning, this is what it looks like to be my follower. This is what it looks like to be like me. Blessedness comes when we live our lives in radical dependency upon God. Those quotes, maybe we left it off. Blessedness comes when we live in radical dependency upon God. Blessing comes when we are living lives doing good to others. The question this morning is how? How did Jesus live out a life of blessedness in his relationships with others? Dave and John Ferguson have written recently of this book. It's called Bless, B-L-E-S-S, Five Everyday. Right? Maybe. Their whole principle. way we are. Recurring patterns, the simple practices of Jesus in his day-to-day life. And so what they offer us in their book is five doable, transferable, practical ways for us to bless others, even as Jesus has blessed us. So here's their BLESS acronym. This is the characteristics, qualities that they see in Jesus' life that they, you know, are inviting us to enter into as well. So B, right, is begin with prayer. Jesus' whole life was about prayer. We'll talk more about that in a minute. L, listen. You know, our job is not just to speak. Our job is to really listen to others. Stories, their struggles, their problems. Make a we don't hoard. Have received freely. To move from the theoretical to the practical. To move from mere. My goodness. There we go. Very, 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 very practical. So this morning we focus on the B of Jesus' life of blessedness. His prayer is where his identity is remembered and re-experienced again and again. Prayer is Jesus heading to the wilderness for 40 days. Early, early in the morning, late, late, late at night, in the middle of the day, Jesus goes again and again to be with his Abba, to be sustained and in the morning, while it was still dark outside. Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they said, "Lord, where are you? Everybody's looking for you." And Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also, for that is why I have come." In prayer, Jesus aligns himself with God's why for his life. In prayer, this is, you know, when Jesus understands his purpose that the Father has given him, in prayer is where he is equipped and empowered to live out that fulfillment of that why, that purpose, alignment. For Jesus, prayer is where Jesus prays for others. Prayer is all about intercession. In John 17, Jesus intentionally and intensely intercedes for others the night before he's to be crucified. And guess who he's praying for? He prays for his disciples long ago, and he's praying for you. He's praying for us. Look at John 17, 20, 21. "My prayer is not for them alone, not just for my disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." That's us. "That all of them may be one, Father. Just as you were in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." He's praying for us. He's praying for us to be in him and for him to be in us, so that, right, the whole world will believe in him. Verses 25 and 26, "Righteous Father, righteous Abba, though the world does not know you, I know you. And they know that you have sent me. That's us. We know that Jesus has been sent to us. I have made you known to them. If you're here this morning and you're a believer in Jesus, guess why? Because Jesus has made himself known. He's made the Father known to you. I've made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that, so that for the purpose that the love you have for me may be in them. God's love would be in you. And that I myself, Jesus says, that I myself may be in them. I mean, how does that make you feel? Right? That on the night before Jesus was crucified, how does that make you feel? Beginning of Jesus' ministry, Luke 6. One of those days, Jesus went up to the mountainside to pray, and he spent the whole night apostles, Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, y'all, all night long. Jesus, as he prayed all night long for them. Disciples of Jesus pray like Jesus prayed. Disciples of Jesus, that's us. We receive God's blessing and then use it. 7 years ago, I got to do that better. Yeah, that's right. Back in the good old days, 47. That in those days, there were people praying for me. My mama was praying for me. My brother Carrie was praying for me. Reva, Nathan, Sunshine, they were praying for me. But according to God's word, even Jesus was praying for me. Look at Romans 8:34. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus who died, more than that, Christ Jesus who was raised to life, he's now at the right hand of God, and he is also interceding for us. Today, this morning, Jesus in praying for people in your life who need to know him. He's inviting you to take your prayer card, right? To take your prayer card home and fill it out with the names of your loved ones and your friends and your neighbors. Fill it out with the people you work with and the people you play with and the people you do life with. Eight people, right? Eight people that you know Jesus, who need to grow in Jesus. By the way, if you were to ask me, what's one place where we need to grow as a church? I would say it's prayer. We've had the same 12 people come into our prayer meetings on Mondays and Wednesdays for years. And yet, Jesus, our great intercessor, is imploring us, all of us, to join him in prayer. This morning, if you take this card and this invitation to pray seriously, we will exponentially increase our prayers to God on behalf of those whom we today. By the way, this is not one way camp, but this is the precursor. This is the Jesus revelation. overcrowded cafeteria. The cafeteria didn't hold all of us. We had to eat in shifts, but we were all in there. Remember this song? Passing On's a song that came straight. True. It's a song that rings true to what God desires to do in our lives and through our lives. All that, but I do want to ask you, invite you, not the whole song, but to sing just the first verse and the last verse together. Y'all ready for this? You're singing, oh, we're going to be on key. What are you saying? The first. Thank you. Listen now. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you spread His love to everyone. You want to pass it. Last verse. I wish for you, my friend, this happiness that I shouted from the mountain top. Praise God! I want the world to know the Lord of love has come to me. I want to pass. Y'all, maybe it's that simple. God has loved us, and we are to go out and love others. Maybe it's that simple. God has loved us, and we are to go out and pass it on. Mother Teresa said, when you know how much God is in love with you, then you can only live a life of radiating love, radiating that love to others. Jesus, I pray for us that we will take seriously this invitation, this call, for us to be a blessing to this world, even as you have been a blessing to us. And that, Lord, just as you prayed for those guys on that mountain, just as you prayed for us in the middle of the night before you were crucified, God, that we would become those who pray for those that we love, that we would pray for those who need to know you, Lord. God, start something in us. Yeah, I know, it's just a card. But God, it's all about hearts. It's all about us being willing to name those names in our hearts and on our lips unto your very throne. And Lord Jesus, we understand we're only joining you in what you're already doing. God, may a great awakening and revival happen, because everybody in this room takes a little card, puts 8 names on the card, and begins to pray for those 8 names every single day. Come, Lord Jesus. Remind us of how blessed we are, how loved we are, how chosen we are, how filled with the Spirit we are. And then turn us loose and set us free to love others even as you have loved us. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Lord, this morning, Lord, you know what's want to be done, but what needs to be done in our lives. Lord, we seek you to multiply your kingdom in this city. We seek you, God, to raise up a whole church who marches on their knees, who truly is a people dependent upon you in prayer. Lord, make it so in us, Lord, so you can do what you desire to do through us. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Not just in the hour that we're here, but in all the hours of our week. Lord, come rescue us. Come and heal us. Come and free us to be the sons and daughters of God that you have called us to be. In your name, Jesus, amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here this morning.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.